this is the Darien cast. It's the Darien cast, isn't it?
I think that's what we're calling it.
Okay. This is the Darien cast. And I'm Darien, and that guy over there is Steven. He's the gay one.
I'm the straight one. Gay.
You're not? Oh, then I'm the gay one, and he's the straight one. I can't.
The important thing is you're the one with the website, so.
Ah, I am the one with the website.
I don't actually believe in the internet.
I'm pretty sure it is, in fact, a figment of my imagination, but.
That actually explains a lot of the content that's on the internet, Darien.
Well, I am the gay one.
Exactly.
So anyway, we're not here to talk about how gay I am, even though it's fun. We're actually here to talk about video games.
That is ostensibly the topic of your website, I think. I'm not really sure. It just somehow became... I don't know if you set out to make a video game website, but...
No, I definitely didn't. We just kind of started...
Well, video games are great. So what I've been doing a lot lately is playing my Wii, which I got because I went down to Target a few minutes before the store opened, because Target is awesome like that. No one goes there.
Yeah, I went there, actually. And
But you went to a different Target.
I did go to a different Target. I went, because I'm in the East Coast office, and you're in the West Coast office, so...
Exactly.
Yeah, we're big. We have offices.
You know, my office looks a lot like my apartment. It's kind of funny how that works. But have you gotten a chance to play with one yet? Because I know they've been sold out, or you've been trying to buy them.
I haven't, and I've looked all around for store demos, and nobody has a running store demo around here either.
I've seen store demos, but none that are interactive. Like, they're just like a Wii and then a video.
I've seen that.
I guess one of the things, I guess maybe they don't want you stealing the controller or throwing it into their plasma TV. I'm not...
I think they could tether it. I mean, I'm pretty sure
you could still hurl it.
And I'm pretty sure the tether would just snap off anyway. I understand that's the case.
It's been scientifically proven that you cannot make a cable strong enough to hold the force of a man throwing a remote control. It's not possible, as Nintendo's learned, because... Yeah, a lot of people have broken their TVs, apparently, throwing around that controller.
Yeah, and I heard some dude even got hit in the chest with one, and it caused him irreparable damage, and he's suing. Or so I've heard.
Irreparable damage in the chest.
Yeah. I guess it just caved in a lung or something.
Bummer. I've actually... When I first got it, there's like all these warnings. Every time you turn on the damn thing, it gives you these warnings. And every time you start a game, it tells you, put on your wrist strap. And I remember the first time I was playing around with it, I'm like, well, I'm not going to wear a wrist strap. That's retarded. But then I was reading about it on the internet. I think it was like on IGN or something. They were talking about how they had thrown their controllers a few times, and they hit the wall and stuff and burst open. They said from that point on they used the wrist strap, so I quickly put mine on, and I have in fact thrown my controller twice now since I got the damn thing. Both times the wrist strap held though, so I guess I'm lucky. But it is pretty easy. You'd be surprised especially when you're playing a Wii baseball, and you basically have to make the pitching motion to throw. Your natural instinct is to let go of the controller at the sort of peak of your pitch, right as your hands coming down like you would a real baseball.
And so you're doing the pitching in Wii Baseball, you're doing the big pitching motion. Are you also pressing buttons at the same time?
No.
Okay.
Oh wait, actually, I'm sorry. Yes, you are. You can press the face button or the trigger button to get like a slider or a curveball.
Oh, that's interesting. But in the pitching,
and then the way that you curve your wrist at the height of the pitch also determines where it breaks, like which direction it's going to go in.
Okay.
Which is kind of neat.
It does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty neat. Unfortunately, the baseball game is a little incomplete since there's no fielding or base running at all. You just hit and pitch.
And it only runs like 4 innings, I heard.
Yeah, I think it's 3.
3 innings.
I mean, I get the reason they do all the Wii Sports games are pretty short because they don't want you getting too tired from doing it.
I'd believe that.
After all, major league pitchers aren't allowed to usually pitch a whole 9 innings. I don't think they want guys who are completely out of shape trying to throw 9 innings of baseball. But obviously, I don't think you're throwing it 100 miles an hour either.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure if you are, the wrist strap is definitely not going to hold.
Speaking of, did you hear that, what's his name, Zumaya, the pitcher? Was it Joel Zumaya? Hurt his arm. He missed 3 games in the American League Championship Series. Because he was, he hurt his arm playing Guitar Hero.
Yes, I did hear that. Isn't that absurd?
How can a Guitar Hero pitcher hurt himself playing Guitar Hero?
How can you hurt yourself playing Guitar Hero at all? I mean, it's a fun game. I won't argue with that. But you're basically just pressing buttons.
Well, you're
not swinging the thing around.
Yeah, I guess he hurt his forearm. I don't know if it was the strumming hand or the chord hand. I'm not sure.
After you
play guitar for a while, your hands do get kind of tired, maybe a little achy, but...
Well, yeah.
He must have been really jamming on that bad boy in order to actually damage his arm.
Did you see where Reggie is talking about a Guitar Hero on the Wii? This guy better stay away from that.
He'll be throwing his guitar into the television.
He will
really,
never
Guitar
recover.
Hero on the Wii? How would that... Would you get another a guitar controller, or would it be actually just air guitar?
Well, he was just talking... Kind of theoretically, this would be something I'd like to see on the Wii. So it's not.
That would make sense, though, considering the sort of things. I mean, the Wii really is, I think, working in terms of people who are playing it who wouldn't play video games. I brought it up to my mom's house for Thanksgiving, and she's like begging me to bring it back for Christmas. She was actually going to go purchase one for herself, but I'm like, no, you can't. They're kind of sold out everywhere. She was kind of disappointed.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's pretty amazing. My mom hates video games. The last video game she played was Duck Hunt.
Hey, my mom too. Either Duck Hunt or Hogan's Alley, one or the other.
Yeah, I don't know. My mom. What is it with moms and the light gun games?
And I
but
did
she was
mention,
playing Wii Bowling and was way into it. And the most embarrassing thing was she was beating me too. It was really bugging me.
Well, you're the expert now, I understand. So.
Since that humiliating defeat of losing to my mom at a video game, I've done nothing but play Wii Bowling. So that now I can go out there at Christmas and just crush her.
Do it.
I'm going to make her cry. Teach her a lesson. And then she'll probably, of course, no longer want a Wii after I beat the living crap out of her.
Or maybe she'll become obsessed with vengeance.
That's possible.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be. I do think it's interesting that Wii Bowling, a game that it looks like it took them 10 minutes to make, has completely, like, totally obsessed me with... I have Zelda, and I keep thinking... Boy, I should go play some more Zelda, but then I think, or I could try and break 250 in bowling, and then I'm playing bowling for an hour.
It's always the simple games that do that too.
Yeah, I agree. There's something about that simplicity that works.
That happened to me with Super Monkey Ball on the GameCube. I just started playing that and just got totally sucked into it and stopped playing everything else for a long time.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid to get Super Monkey Ball for the Wii. Who knows what that might do to me? I mean, imagine if they had, like, Super Monkey Ball bowling. I could still be playing it for the rest of my life. It'd be like World of Warcraft times 1,000 in terms of addictiveness.
World of Super Monkey Ball. That would be
heaven
classic.
Forbid. So, yeah, in general, I'm pretty impressed with the Wii. I gotta say, it's a really nice little system. I like the menus and the interface. I like creating our little avatar guys. That's surprisingly fun. After doing it, it seems like a silly thing that making your own little baseball team full of weird cartoon-looking characters. I have like Kim Jong Il on my baseball team, for instance.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty groovy. The thing is, of course, you can't really control which one, when they show up in your sports game. So it's like sometimes you have Kim Jong Il batting third and. You know, sometimes I have John Goodman batting third. You never know who's showing up. It's
well, that's
pretty
kind
strange.
Of, that's kind of appropriate for Kim Jong because he's sort of like that, unpredictable. Never know what he's going to do next.
Sometimes you get like a couple runners on base and you need a big bat, and all of a sudden, you know, Kim Jong steps up. You're like, oh no, I don't want Kim Jong hitting here. How do I pinch hit? And you can't. There's no pinch hitting.
Whoa.
There's pretty no baseball strategy whatsoever in it. In fact, it's just home run derby.
Well, I don't know. At least you can put Kim Jong Il in. I guess that's what counts.
Go ahead.
If you cut out all of your other Mii's except for Kim Jong Il, would you get him every time?
You control the avatar that you play as, so you pick your Wii to your Mii to play as. So that's the guy's gonna be pitching. That guy's gonna be batting first.
Okay.
But the rest of them on your team, I think it might guarantee that you'd get him if he was the only other one you had besides the one you were using. I'm not sure. But there's plenty of other Miis that come just like pre-generated that you get to see.
I see.
But they're all really generic. I will say also that the golf game is the most accurate simulation of golf I've ever played in that it's completely and totally impossible and incredibly frustrating at the same time. much like real golf. Yeah, you just you'll be doing your practice swings. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be like, okay, I'm ready. You go hit the ball and just completely friggin' slice it and end up in the damn bunker, and I have to sit there chipping at it for 15 minutes to get it out of there. Ah,
I'm pretty good.
So
I'm pretty good chipping. The pitching wedge is like the only club I can actually hit the ball with. Well, it doesn't help. I've been golfing once ever, and
yeah.
The people I went with did not have a set of left-handed clubs. So I'm playing right-handed, and I'm just totally at sea with trying to hit the ball with the club.
Yeah, that would be a problem. The Wii does fortunately allow you to switch between left and right-handed settings. You can choose how you're going to be doing it, which is kind of nice. It's good they thought about that. But, yeah. And the other thing is putting is just completely impossible. Usually what happens is, like, I can drive the ball down, okay, but unless I get stuck in a damn bunker. But once I get onto it, once I actually get right out to the hole, I spend like 6 or 7 strokes trying to putt it,
huh.
Just completely overshooting it or undershooting it alternately and screaming in frustration.
So
I pretty much stopped playing that.
I was reading the other day about that upcoming golf game, Super Swing Golf, and it was talking about how the putting controls are exactly the same as the driving controls. You still use this great big swing motion for it. Is it the same way in Wii Sports Golf?
No. Not at all. It's much more like real golf. We have to gently tap the damn ball, and it's really easy to not tap it. One thing that is kind of weird is you're supposed to use the golf swing motion,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing at the other end of the controller. It's just not balanced the way a golf club is, right? It's really funky. Same thing when you're swinging your bat. It feels just strange. It's like you're gripping just the bottom of a bat. You'd cut everything else off but the grip.
Hmm.
It's weird how having that counterweight at the other end affects how you swing it. But
well, they make steering wheel things that you sit the controller in, so maybe somebody will start making baseball bat things that you stick your controller in. Who knows?
that would be kind of interesting, actually. That might work well. That might be kind of fun.
I would probably buy one.
I usually end up batting just one-handed in the baseball game because it seems to work just as well. And it makes you feel like a badass to knock one out of the park one-handed.
I imagine. Like Barry Bonds doesn't have anything on you.
Exactly. Or maybe you're playing college baseball. You get the little aluminum bat. Just ping!
Yep.
Straight out of the park every time you want.
The itty-bitty field. Like, oh, it's 50 feet? That's going to be hard.
Yeah, I feel like I'm playing in Denver every time I hit the ball. It's great. Another great thing about Wii Baseball is how often the fielders make errors. Just calm, like the most inept fielders ever. just constantly dropping balls and missing flies.
That's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing about video game baseball anyway, is that fielders just can't seem to hold on to the ball.
Right.
They'll always just be running across the field and pop, the ball goes flying off someplace.
Really frustrating. But yeah, I mean, and allegedly, I can't figure out how to do the more finesse things in baseball or tennis. Allegedly, by the way you swing the controller, how hard it is, you can control where the ball goes when you hit it. I have absolutely no success whatsoever with that. I've gotten pretty good at controlling the ball in bowling by spinning my wrist, but the other ones, I can't get them at all.
So is the throw that you use for bowling the same as you would use in real bowling, or is it a different sort of wrist?
Yeah, you can, but I found a much more effective version than the actual bowling throw. It may just be that I can't do the actual bowling throw correctly, but I found a weird one where you let the ball go a lot higher. You kind of like toss it upwards rather than rolling it parallel to the floor. I'm pitching it underhanded like a softball, and that works incredibly well.
They love it when you do that at bowling lanes, too.
Yeah, they're big fans
of that.
Boy, they're also really love when you throw it in another lane by mistake.
Yeah, I know.
That's their favorite thing.
The other thing that they really enjoy is when you fall on your fat ass and slide down the lane yourself.
I've never tried that. I've always been tempted, though.
Oh, I sure have.
Wow.
I've tried that a lot of times. No. I just...
Yeah, maybe Wii bowling is the way to go for you.
Maybe it is, yeah. Real bowling and I, we don't get along. I get injured.
So yeah, Wii Sports is a surprisingly good value for the money, considering it comes with a console, which is cool, because before they announced it was a pack-in, I was considering buying it, mainly for tennis. And I was just thinking, but I don't know if I really want to spend that much. We almost had $50 for what looks like a bunch of demos. So I think packing it in was a great idea. I can't wait. Next year, they're going to release. I think they've already released it in Japan and Europe. But early next year in January, they're going to be releasing this pack-in with new controllers, with new Wiimotes. That comes with a bunch of mini games, including like ping pong and Duck Hunt.
Yep, Wii Play. I was
Yes.
looking at that the other day. It sounds interesting.
I'm excited because I mean my favorite thing with the Wii so far has been just those little tiny games, I think.
I understand it has less depth to it than Wii Sports. The games are like a lot more simplistic, but there are more of them on the other hand, and they're
So
different.
that, I mean that's I mean, hey, Duck Hunt, right? That you can't go
Exactly.
wrong with that.
If you like mini
Duck.
games, if you're liking the mini games, I really do recommend you to Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. And also WarioWare, when that comes out over here,
Oh yeah, lordy.
I'm really bummed when I found out it wasn't a US launch title, because I mean, the DS and that both seem designed for WarioWare.
They really do.
I'm excited.
I played a demo of the original, like
Yeah,
years
me
ago, and
too.
it was kind of slick, but it's all just press A button, press A button, press A button, and
Yeah,
so.
have you played the DS version?
I haven't, but I keep meaning to.
It's completely crazy. It's so strange trying to switch between all these different modes of input and like weird ways of thinking about things, and it's just so quick too. It's just so strange. I'm excited about the Wii version.
Yeah, I understand the Wii version, it gives you like 16 different grips for holding the controller, and it'll tell you before the game starts like which grip to switch to, and then you have to do. I don't even know.
What's been really sad, though, a big disappointment for me has been Zelda, Twilight Princess on the Wii. It's just the controls are pretty decent. Some stuff has really improved, I think, on the Wii. Aiming your bow, which is or your hookshot or the boomerang or that stuff, is like kind of the from right behind the shoulder, first person kind of view, and you just move the controller to move the cursor around the screen like a pointer. That works wonderfully well, but the other stuff in the game, swinging your sword and moving some shield attacks and stuff. You gotta just kind of swing the controller a little bit, and it's really hard to swing a controller with any kind of finesse. You end up just like swinging a multiple times, only meant to swing once, and or it doesn't quite register when you want it to. It just feels a little too clunky. And there's some sort of more advanced sword fighting moves you can get, where you gotta jump around people and swing at just the right time. And I have such trouble getting those to work that I end up just swinging wildly and winning kind of by luck, I guess. I'm not sure. The enemies aren't that hard, unfortunately. So I just kind of, instead of mashing buttons, that's why I was gonna say I just mash buttons, but I guess I just swing my fists wildly in the air until the enemy dies. And sadly, that's a pretty effective strategy.
It's worked pretty well for me in real life so far.
And then I just scream, "Not in the face, not in the face," while I'm doing
Exactly.
it,
Close your
and it
eyes and just
works.
windmill. You'll get through it.
Yeah,
So,
and I'm. So what?
the GameCube version, I believe, is out, or it comes out this week.
Yes, I
Which
think it's
one
out.
would you recommend? Are the Wii control advantages, do they outweigh the disadvantages, or would you be better off sticking with the GameCube version?
Well, like I said, I'm pretty much able to just waltz through all the combat right now, so I don't think you're gonna get a huge advantage by having more finesse. I really, really enjoy being able to aim things much more quickly. I've never ever been able to aim with analog sticks. So I think that's a pretty big advantage, and unfortunately, like a lot of the other stuff, you have this pointer at all times, this little fairy pointer, but it doesn't seem to do jack crap. You just have it there, and it just makes this weird sound that you got to turn off because it drives you crazy. I'm not really sure, not sure, sure why they included that feature. It seems like a total last minute thing. You can occasionally move it over to like target things, but I pretty much never use it. It just seems like it's there mainly as a cosmetic feature. I'm not really sure why that's there. I don't know. I'm assuming the improved graphics on the Wii are probably make it worth. If you're gonna buy a Wii anyway, might as well just wait to get the Wii version. It'd be nice to let you hook up the GameCube controller to the Wii version and take your pick of which you wanted to use, but I don't think you can.
Yeah, well, I suppose you could always just hook up the GameCube version of the game to the Wii and do it that
Yeah,
way
but
if you were
that'd be
desperate.
kind of
Yeah, it
really
would be
bad.
stupid.
So
If you bought the Wii,
yeah,
what are you doing with the
might as well
GameCube
play with those
version to go with?
controls. And the game itself just doesn't feel, I don't know, doesn't feel that fresh. I mean, I know a lot of people didn't really like Wind Waker, but I thought it was kind of an interesting take. I really liked, I think you did too. I really like the graphics in Wind Waker. I mean, almost sad to see a return to the more realistic, gloomy sort of style from Zelda 64, Ocarina of Time. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, at least in Wind Waker, the sailing stuff didn't really work, but it was kind of an interesting break from the normal series, from the normal Zelda series. This game just it feels a lot. The world feels a little smaller, and the game feels a little more linear than the older games. You kind of got to do things in ABC order. I wish they'd bring back more of the old school Zelda, original Zelda, where you kind of do things in however order you felt like, as
Yes,
opposed to holding your hand the whole time.
that was one of my favorite things about the original Zelda, and
Yeah.
that and the second quest. I loved
Yeah, it
that.
was nifty. And even in like Link to the Past, you could kind of do things in any order. You had to go get the items out of the dungeons, but you could go beat the dungeons in any
Yeah.
order you wanted to after you unlocked the Dark World.
And if I recall, you just once you had the hammer out of the first one, you could get to like any of the first six. So
Yeah, pretty much.
you had
So
a good deal of
that was kind of
flexibility.
neat. That was something I remember doing when I replayed Link to the Past once. I didn't get I just got the items of the dungeons and didn't beat them until I could beat them in some crazy order.
Yep,
So that way
I did
I
the
wouldn't
same
have all
thing.
those extra heart pieces, thus increasing the challenge. Because I played through Link to the Past an awful lot and needed to add extra challenge to the game. You had to create your back in the day. We had to create our own extra bonus challenges. None of this Xbox 360 achievement nonsense where, like, the game says, "Oh, you achieved some arbitrary goal, and now other people can see it online." It's just you just had to make up your own achievements to make.
Hey, back in the day, surviving a video game for 10 minutes was an achievement all by itself.
That's a
Because
very, very good point.
it was trying to kill you. It wasn't the sort of thing where you just beat it in 10 hours, then you're like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah, there wasn't a real story in video games either back then. It's like now you play a game, you get like a story that walks you from one location to another, and you know why
Yeah.
you're doing things.
Who wants
Not
to know
then.
why you're doing things?
Yeah, back then it was grumble, grumble,
Right.
and you had to give him meat, and obviously.
I who was that not clear to? You have th it's grumbling, obviously. His stomach is rumbling because he needs bait. Okay? I mean, how many times a day do you end up you need more bait and so your stomach starts to rumble?
Right, I mean, that's clear. And sometimes there's just old men in caves that give you swords and tell you to keep a secret.
And you can slash at them with your sword, but they won't die, but the torches in their room will start to shoot you with beams.
Yeah, that's a bad idea to do that. But you can dodge those little balls pretty easily.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It is one thing that really kind of bugs me about Twilight Princess is how small the world feels compared to the other games. I mean, even like Zelda 64, I always called it Zelda 64. Ocarina of Time had a huge world, it felt like. And even Wind Waker felt like it had a pretty big world, even though most of it was completely empty. So
Yeah,
it took forever to move around it.
Wind Waker, I did get the impression the world was very big. There was just nothing to do in this very big world.
Right. You could just sail from one deserted square of ocean to the next if you wanted. Which I did,
Oh yeah,
but
so did I. Or you
in
could
Twilight, what's
like go back to Outset Island and just chase the pigs around for like half an hour.
that?
I did that a few
Right.
times.
Yeah, in Twilight Princess, pretty early on, you gain the ability to warp from location to location at will,
Oh.
and so you don't even end up really traveling through the world at that point. You have a horse and you can ride around if you want, but inevitably, I just end up warping,
Yeah.
and that I think that contributes to it too. It doesn't really feel like there's the same real sense of place the older Zelda games had. I don't. That was an interesting decision. I'm not sure why they made it.
I remember from back in the original EverQuest, one thing that really contributed to the world ceasing to feel like a world and seem more like individual levels was when they made travel a lot simpler like that, was when they gave you the ability to warp pretty much wherever you wanted to go. Then
Yeah.
all of a sudden, it's like I'm not in a world anymore. I'm just on a menu picking which level I want to play.
And that's pretty much what Twilight Princess kind of becomes. The level design itself is pretty good. Most of the dungeons are pretty interesting puzzles, though. I mean, there's a little too much sliding block puzzles in this
Oh,
game for me.
Lord. I can live without any more sliding block puzzles.
I have to agree. For the most part, it's pretty good. The combat is all really, really dead easy, though. This is just. I mean, they just seem to be getting easier. Each Zelda game seems making the combat easier and easier. I don't know what's with that.
Is there at least a decent variety of mobs to fight in this one? Because in Wind
Yes.
Waker. Oh,
Yes.
good.
You're not,
Good.
in fact, they don't seem to repeat mobs very much at all. It's pretty much each level seems to have its own set of new mobs. There's like a couple of common mobs in the overworld, but you just end up running or running past them most of the time.
Yep.
I don't know why they put them in there.
Because I
But
remember.
yeah. And the bosses are really, really easy. There
Are
hasn't been
they?
a single boss that's challenged me. and I'm most of the way through it. I haven't quite finished it. I don't. Maybe the end boss is really tough. I don't know, but I kind of doubt it.
I don't even remember the bosses in Wind Waker, except Ganon. Yeah. I remember Ganon.
Yeah, Ganon was pretty cool.
Ganon, the fight was dumb as hell, but the characterization was cool.
I kind of liked the fight.
With all I hated the fight.
Stages. And...
I hated it. I kind of liked it for a little while, but the way it ends up, where you just have to like run him around while Zelda stuns him with light arrows, and eventually you perform your magic A button spin around move, and he dies instantly.
Yeah, okay, I agree.
That was dumb.
That was a disappointing climax.
Yeah.
I miss the Ocarina of Time style climax, the classic, he shoots magic at you and you zap it back.
Yep.
That's the way that you should fight Ganon.
That, or he should be invisible and you just have to stab at random with your sword until you hit it. Because that was really good gameplay. That was definitely my favorite part of the original Legend of Zelda.
Oh, man, that was terrible.
Yeah, that really was. I love the game, but that part was just beyond stupid.
Though not nearly as frustrating as the final battle in Zelda 2. We have to fight the Shadow Link.
And he's invincible. Yeah,
yeah, I remember just that. Completely.
One time I went back, I decided I'm going to beat this damn game. And so I got a Game Genie, and I just put on invincibility. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to win now. It took me like half an hour to beat the thing. Just pound, because you can't ever hurt him.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. I remember I when I was playing as a kid, I played with my dad, and he was the only one that could ever beat Dark Link, and he did it once, and that was it. We could never do it again.
Yeah, I never
so
did
I don't,
it.
I don't think technically I've ever done it. It's just way too freaking hard.
It's like, it's up there with beating Gauntlet. You just don't do it. You might have heard about somebody who did it once, but he can't do it again, and that's all there is to it.
Did somebody beat Gauntlet?
I've heard about people who've beaten Gauntlet. Wow. I don't know if I believe it, though.
Were they using Game Sharks or what?
I would expect so. I mean,
we're not talking about Gauntlet Legends, are we? We're talking about the original Gauntlet.
No. Yeah.
Because you can't beat those Gauntlet Legend Gauntlet games.
Yeah, you sure
They're
can.
They're just boring.
They're okay for a little while.
Yeah, agreed. But then you get like the fourth or fifth world. You're like, okay, I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
And then your idiot friend, who's the mage, keeps running in front of the melee characters and fighting all the mobs and then sweating that he needs health.
It's almost like playing World of Warcraft, isn't it? With the
idiot
mage running into the mobs. And standing...
I'm a priest. I like the melee mobs.
That's why you need Thunder Fury, I understand.
Exactly. So what's up with World of Warcraft? Maybe we should mention that. I stopped playing it for a long time and just recently reactivated my account, but lots of changes. What do you think of all the new stuff?
Basically, I like it all. I can't think of any changes that have been made that... any major changes that I dislike. A couple art changes that I'm not big on, but that's about it. Most of
it. You don't like the new loading screens?
No. The new Kalimdor loading screen is okay. I personally think the Eastern Kingdom's loading screen is ugly as hell. That's just me. Oh. I like the new... Have you looked... You can expand your map now such that you can view Azeroth or Outland. And the transitional screen is actually really pretty. It's this big sort of...
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like this big star map and parts of it light up. It's neat.
I didn't even try to expand outside of Azeroth.
It was probably the first thing I did after patching to 2.0.1.
I didn't realize I could do that. That's the thing. Interesting. Yeah. You like all the talent additions and changes
I do.
And tweaks?
I do. I understand that generally everybody hates them, but I also... understand that generally everybody hates everything, so I don't take that very seriously. Everybody I've spoken to whose opinion I place any value on at all seems to think they're pretty good, so there's that.
Yeah, I haven't played them too much. Just looking at them, I think they're kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely some interesting options. In terms of paladins, which is what I know best, we've gained both a lot of versatility and a lot of specialization at the same time. If you spec all the way up one of the paladin trees, you'll end up at 41 points with a talent that's really effective for what that tree is built around. Like at the top of the retribution tree, you get this really potent burst damage ability. And at the top of protection, you get pulling mechanics and ranged threat generation. And at the top of holy, you get a talent that is activatable once every 3 minutes and reduces the cost of all your spells by 50%, which is pretty decent.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, I've been liking it so far. Like I said, I haven't got a lot of time to play it, but are you excited about the expansion?
I am. I am. I've already started accumulating mats and recipes for jewel crafting on my warlock, so I can switch over straight to that. The new dungeons all look fabulous. Particularly, I'm excited about Karazhan and also Auchendoon, which is a dungeon I don't know a lot about, but all the screenshots I've seen look awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty much excited for Karazhan.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just well, we can see if I can keep my interest for another month until the expansion comes out. I was all set to not buy the expansion, but then you somehow sucked me back into World of Warcraft by talking about it, so.
I remember that happening. I didn't even
What's that?
deliberately set out to do it. It was just
It
like.
doesn't matter. It was you and this guy at my work who plays it and has been telling me how much fun he's been having playing it again.
Yeah, it's just one of those games that you can't ever actually totally get out of. You can just take a break from it.
Of course, my problem is I've logged in for 2 nights now, and I logged in tonight, spending, I don't know how, 20 minutes noodling around Ironforge, not seeing anyone I wanted to group with, and then quitting, which is pretty much what I always end up doing, or else I just spend 2 hours running in circles in Ironforge, chatting to people that I could just as easily talk to over AIM. So it
Yeah.
becomes an interesting
Well,
an interesting.
right now with the expansion imminent, there's an interesting dynamic going on. There isn't an awful lot of actual PvE taking place these days. There's a lot of PvP. Battlegrounds are stocked all the time, and people are just doing that, waiting for the new content in a month.
Yeah, that does seem like one weird thing about a game like this, where this expansion has been so long in coming, and it's like no one's gonna want to run any regular content because all the stuff you get out of it's gonna be outdated in a month and a half.
Yeah, and
But
with the new honor system making it much easier to get the fancy PvP rewards, everybody's doing that. Everybody's going to gain honor so they can get all these kick-ass items that they never had access to before because they didn't want to spend 8 months just grinding battlegrounds.
yeah, that's interesting. They should have made that change earlier, so people would have had something to do for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. And I might have started playing again earlier. They could have sucked some more money out of me when I spend my money on my graphical chat program. It's a real good investment I make every month, $15 to chat, but using graphics.
Hey,
I might as well
you
just play Second Life at this point. Which, by the way, have you played Second Life
I
ever?
have not played Second Life. What is this?
It's another massively multiplayer online game, but it's I think it's actually free to play it. There's no subscription fee, but if you want to buy land in the game, you have to purchase it from the company and some other objects you also use
Oh,
to purchase.
yeah, I heard
And
about that.
the big draw though is it's customizable. You can actually create in-game objects. Users can make them and program them and build like custom actions into these things. And I guess there's a fairly sophisticated like scripting model that lets you do a lot of interesting things. The downside is that this entire world is mainly user created, which means it's kind of like walking through hell when you walk through it with just
Yeah.
all those random crap thrown together. And the worst feature of all is that it lets players like the sections of the world that they own, they can build music into.
Oh, Lord.
So you're like walking through, or actually in the game you fly. You can fly. You're like flying through the world, but you're hearing these terrible MP3s. It's like walking through a 3D version of MySpace. It's just.
I remember playing this game years ago called the World Wide Web that used to allow people to do that.
Oh yes, it's in fact. I don't know if you've ever been on MySpace.
I try not to.
It's this new website that's out. All the kids are into it. Maybe you've heard about it on the news. There's a lot of I think child molesters or something. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, like every
That's
time
why
you
you
look around
think I'd
anyone's
abandon?
MySpace page, like music just starts playing automatically, I think, and it's always some terrible MP3. It's like, oh, great, just what I wanted to listen to. Freaking, I don't know, just total garbage. Hey, Britney Spears, awesome. I'm gonna go ahead and click away from this page now. I didn't realize this was a MySpace page. Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't have a MySpace account either. I feel proud of that fact.
I do. In fact, I feel smug about that fact. I never had
I
a
was.
LiveJournal, and I don't have a MySpace.
I have a live journal.
You do have a
I've
LiveJournal.
posted like four things into it. And mostly I just have it so I can read other people's live journals.
Well, I do have a LiveJournal account, that
Oh, well, then there you go.
No, no, here, I got it because I intended to make a fake live journal.
Oh.
For some joke purpose. No, I never did a damn thing with it. It's.
I got you that account. I remember that.
You did.
Yeah.
And I never touched it.
I actually forgot about that, yeah.
I can't even remember if I was going to spoof, like, one particular person or just... I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but I'm sure it was going to be hilarious.
I'm sure it was.
Like, yeah, I was at a party this weekend. And a couple people I know were talking to other people on MySpace, and I was like, well, I don't have a MySpace page because I'm not dumb. And they were kind of offended by that. I was like, well, look, if you're intelligent, you're on MySpace. If you are on MySpace, you're not that intelligent. And they couldn't really see the logic in it. They were like, well, so you're saying you're more intelligent than I am? I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much long and short of it.
It seems to be pretty clear to me. I mean,
yeah, I mean, the fact that they couldn't quite grasp it means they weren't that intelligent. That's my take.
Maybe it's because I don't have a MySpace, so I can understand what you're saying.
I think so, yeah. So if you're listening to this and you don't have a MySpace page, then you're pretty smart. However, if you get rid of your MySpace page and you have one, your IQ will probably go up several points.
And then you'll be cool enough to hang with us.
Let's talk about the PlayStation 3. What do you think of it?
$500, lol.
Is it 500 or 600?
Either one.
Is it both?
I'm pretty sure they give you the choice of whether to pay $500 or $600.
But like, the 500 one doesn't like have an HDMI connector and stuff, isn't that right?
I don't know. I thought the only difference was that the 500 one had an integrated memory card that was way the fuck too big, and the $600 one has an integrated memory card that's ridiculously way the fuck too big.
Nice. Is it a memory card or a hard drive?
It's a hard drive.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that is something that's important, I guess. Like, this Xbox 360, if you buy the version with the hard drive, it's only a 20 gigabyte drive, and Microsoft wants to start letting you download high-def movies and TV shows. 20 gigs is not nearly going to cut it, so I'm not sure what the heck they're thinking.
I'm not sure why the heck I would do that with my Xbox instead of, you know...
Well, I mean... Because your computer's ostensibly not hooked up to your television. I mean, it does make sense. You can get good output for your 360. Easier. But, I mean, even still, great. 20 gigs, that'll be like four television shows in high def. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, Microsoft. And that's only if you buy the more expensive 360. I was never sure why Microsoft went with two versions of the 360. Because since one of them doesn't have a hard drive, none of the games use the hard drive for anything other than saves. That just seems strange to me.
That does seem strange. I think basically it's because they realized that the price they'd have to sell it at with the hard drive, they wouldn't get any market penetration. So they needed a cheaper version that people would actually pay for.
I guess.
Because with the first generation Xbox, it has the hard drive in it. But Microsoft had to sell it at a gigantic loss in order to cover the cost of that.
Right.
And the first generation Xbox was there basically to get people to buy the second generation Xbox, pretty much.
Hard drives, I mean, how much could a 40 gig, 50 gig, 60 gig hard drive cost Microsoft?
The drive itself, not a lot, but you have to have a lot of architecture in place to support the drive.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in place anyway, I think, because it's pretty much the same box. It just doesn't have this other stuff.
In that case, I have no idea.
I mean, like, the 30 gig iPod costs $200, and it's got a 30 gig hard drive that's, you know, the size of a business card or something.
Yeah, it has a lot of flash RAM, which is more expensive than hard drive space.
So... No, actually, the 30 gig iPod uses hard drive.
Does it really?
Yeah. The iPod Nano and Shuffle use flash. The actual full-size iPods use very small hard drives.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's my mistake.
Yeah, that's if, like, you drop them, they'll skip. Actually, they have like a 30-second buffer, so that rarely happens. They're pretty tiny little devices. That's how they have such density and they're not super expensive. I mean, $200 for a 30 gigabyte hard drive isn't bad, considering that how small it is and it also plays music and stuff.
Right. For just a bare 30 gigabyte hard drive, that would be kind of an outrageous price.
Right. I mean, this one's tiny.
Right, and it does other things, and it has a screen.
Of course, like, you can't actually do anything like, say, hook your iPod up to your Xbox. It'd be kind of clever. But, you know, when Apple and Nintendo merge, I'm sure they'll hook up your iPod to the Wii.
Yeah, when that happens.
That's the dumbest rumor I've ever heard.
Yeah,
like, either one of those companies is going to go for the other.
Well, I don't know. Maybe if they both decide that Microsoft is a giant threat, and maybe if Apple stops being like partly owned by Microsoft or whatever, then
actually, yeah, they no longer are. That deal's like over with now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, because like you know now Apple's actually profitable again. Yeah, Apple's making a killing selling portable music devices. I think it's kind of funny that was like the savior of the company. Oh yeah, it's a we'll sell MP3 players. That's our new business.
And meanwhile, here's Sony going completely fucking bust, trying to do something other than sell portable music players, while somebody else steals the market away from them.
Yeah, strange.
How ironic is that?
They're not as strange as Microsoft's decisions with its portable music player. Have you seen the Zune at all?
I've heard about the Zune, but I haven't seen one.
Wow, it's actually a nice little piece of hardware. I was thinking about getting one, but then when I... Because I need to replace my old iPod Mini, because it's dying on me, but... the Zune, as cool as it is, like, okay, it has a Wi-Fi connection built in, but you can't actually use the Wi-Fi connection to, say, transfer music from your computer to your Zune. You can use it for one thing, and one thing only, and that is to send or receive a song to another Zune, but any songs you transfer that way can only be played 3 times, and then they blow up because there's some weird DRM.
Lord.
It just seems like the dumbest. Like, whoa, so you're putting a Wi-Fi adapter in there, but I'm gonna have no actual use for it. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks.
That's a good use of my money.
Yeah, that's because it would be nice just to be able to sync up my iPod wirelessly without having to hook it up to the computer. But yeah, that's not in the cards apparently. Apparently, Microsoft is not gonna let you do that because I guess it would let you pirate music, and Zune's all about not pirating music. And the other great thing is, about 2 years ago, Microsoft launched this whole campaign called Plays for Sure, where they were going to brand online music stores and also other portable music devices. This is when they didn't have a portable player. So like, a bunch of other companies could get this Microsoft sticker if they complied with a standard called Plays for Sure. So you could download your music from like the Yahoo Music Store or whatever and play it on your Creative Music Player. No one would work with the DRM. Zune does not support that. In fact, Microsoft had a music store that it sold music on. If you bought anything from that music store, it will not play on the Zune. They closed down their old music store and opened a new one. I mean, I don't even understand why the heck you would possibly consider aligning yourself with Microsoft, considering how quickly they're willing to abandon their own standards if they feel they're not working.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be that surprised if, like, Xbox 360 was it, if Microsoft just decided, we're done with consoles now. They do this all the time. They enter some new market, go gung-ho, decide that they can't take control of it or that there's no money in it, and then just leave.
Yeah. I think if the 360 doesn't start performing a lot better than it is right now, I think Microsoft probably won't bother with another generation.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not doing badly, but it's just, it's not going to crack the Japanese market ever.
Right. It's not performing badly, it's just not performing as well as you know Microsoft wants it to.
Right. It's still getting outsold by the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
That has to be a problem for them.
It's
And the real news, of course, for to me at least, is that in November the best-selling console was the Nintendo DS.
That surprises me not at all.
Pretty much worldwide. I always forget how big the portable market is.
The portable market's always been bigger. The Game Boy Advance was pretty much, like, always the best-selling console of every period while it was... Well, before the DS came out.
Yeah.
And now it's the DS. But the DS is just... It's in a league of its own. I was reading the other day, it sold 550,000 units in Europe last week.
That's pretty impressive.
So in the smallest market of the major markets, in 1 week, 500,000 units sold.
Isn't it weird that the European market is smaller than the Japanese market? There's substantially more people in Europe than in Japan.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. They're all...
I think there's the Japanese just buy a lot of games.
I'm sure.
There may not be as many Japanese as there are Americans or Europeans, but they buy more games to make up for it.
I mean, compare the size of the Japanese market to the North American market, and how many games don't get translated into North America?
Yeah, but I think actually the North American market now surpasses the Japanese market in terms of dollars spent.
Oh, it always has. It has since 1985.
Oh, wow. And we don't buy the same range of games.
Exactly.
We're all just buying Gears of War over and over.
And
And
every
more and new Halo games.
movie license game that EA can spit out. They
Yeah,
buy
it's
like
a
2 million units of Barnyard.
I'm sure there's a another six James Bond games this holiday season. Have they ever made a James Bond skiing game? Because they really should if they haven't.
They should. What was
I'm
that?
really
Was that For Your
surprised that
Eyes
they
Only?
haven't. What's that?
Was that For Your Eyes Only?
There's been like Bond skiing sequences in tons of his movies.
Have there? There's one that
Yeah, it's
really
like
sticks out
one
in
of
my
the
mind.
trademark Bond things is skiing.
I see. Then yeah, they should definitely have a slalom game.
I'm really surprised that they haven't. After that Simpsons driving game came out a couple years ago.
And you remember the South Park racer on the N64?
Oh boy, do I. That was a bad idea. That was back when South Park was like red hot and they were just licensing it everywhere they could.
That was a quality piece of software right there.
Yeah, it was pretty strange. Hold on one second.
All right.
All right, anyway, I'm back.
Okay, I'm still here.
Okay, so do we have, what else do we have to talk about?
All right,
Anything else going on?
I'd like to talk for a couple minutes before
Okay.
we're done. I'd like to talk about Kingdom Hearts 2, which I've just been playing, and why it pisses me off.
A Square Enix game that's pissing you off? No way.
I know, isn't that wild? Now, I played the first Kingdom Hearts eventually. I played it like 3 years after it came out or some such. Because, like everybody else who knows anything about anything, I was already aware that it sucked and didn't need to bother playing it. But the trouble was, it didn't suck. It was actually kind of fun. And once you get into it, you really kind of stay into it. It's pretty groovy, and I thought the second game would be probably more like the same thing, but the second game is actually a lot more like watching a movie of somebody playing the first Kingdom Hearts. It's like you'll have a room full of mobs, and you clear out all the mobs, and then you watch a cutscene for 6 or 7 minutes, and then it gives you another room full of mobs, and you kill the mobs, and you watch a cutscene for 6 or 7 minutes, and you do this for pretty much the whole game. And why do game designers think this is a good way to make a game? Do you have
Yeah,
any ideas?
well, people buy those Final Fantasy games like crazy. They love that shit.
But I don't know.
I don't
Anyway.
know either. It drives me crazy, honestly, having to watch movies all the time. It's just like I want to get back to playing it.
I
If I
don't
want to watch a
mind.
movie, I think the thing that game designers need to realize is their stories. They're not exactly Citizen Kane here. I don't care
Yeah.
nearly that much about them. I mean, they're not even a James Bond movie. The stories in video games are pretty much universally bad.
They sure are. And the thing
And
is, if I'm playing a video game and you want to show me a movie, I'm okay with that, but something cool has to happen in the movie. Something has to blow up, or some giant monster needs to appear, or whatever. Something cool happens that I have to deal with immediately after the movie is over. That's the only kind of movie I want to see in a video game.
yeah, I don't really want to see like characters just talking to one another.
Uh-huh.
That tends to get old.
It's and right at the at Kingdom Hearts 2 basically has an act break in it. There's a first act and a second act, pretty much. They're not explicitly called out, but basically they are there. And right on the act break is a cutscene that runs the thick end of 20 minutes. And that's just not acceptable.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
There's no reason in the world to put a cutscene movie in a video game that runs anything like 20 minutes long, with no break in the middle for me to actually interact with my interactive entertainment medium or anything like that.
Is the gameplay itself at least fun?
It's not bad, but it's too prone to replacing gameplay elements with movies of gameplay elements or with mini games that have nothing to do with the regular gameplay elements. So it's like you'll fight a boss, and the boss battle will be going along, and you'll be pounding on the A button, mashing this dude with your sword, and it'll pop up this reaction command that you have to hit to avoid some big attack the boss is about to do. And you press the button, and then you watch a movie for like a minute of Sora just dodging around all these big attacks. And I'm like, I would rather just dodge the attacks myself using the mechanics that are already in the game than
Yeah,
just hit the play movie button and then avoid them.
that was one thing that's really, I think, scary thing for developers. The thing that you can go wrong on is if your characters are doing cooler things in the movie than you can actually do in the game. It's a real letdown when you get to start playing. It's like, oh, your characters to dodge all this stuff and fly around in the air, and then we actually play the game and, oh, sliding block puzzle. Awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And it's like, you'll have this mission where you have to collect all these things or beat all these dudes or whatever, but the method that you'll go out for doing this will be, oh, here's a slide, and you have to just slide down the hill and steer left and right and avoid the obstacles. And I don't even know what to say about that. I could buy a slide game if I wanted a slide game. If I buy a game about running around with a giant key and hitting dudes in the fucking face with it, I kind of want to hit people in the fucking face with a giant key.
This is one of the things I think developers need to sit down and rethink is the constant mini games.
Yes.
Why is every RPG or adventure game now consists of 10 million mini games? I don't want to play some. There's a snowboarding level in the new Zelda game, and you have to beat it, and it's so bad. Fortunately, it's really, really easy. I died on it once because I didn't realize I had to make a jump that I had to make. But otherwise, it's pretty much simple. But they'll tell me how to do this. Like, why the hell am I snowboarding? This is retarded.
I played, back in 2002, I played about 5 minutes of Star Fox Adventures on the GameCube. And then I got to the part where there's this random speeder bike level in the snow. It's just like, race these two dudes to the finish line. And it was really fucking hard and completely pointless. And I could buy a racing game if I wanted a racing game. You know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Because these games are always like very poorly designed mini games.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem very much thought went into it. And they're like complete and total throwaways. So why made me do it?
And the thing is, I'm of the opinion if you're going to shoehorn minigames into a game like that, they should be fairly easy. You don't want people to get stuck because they can't get through the minigames and then give up on the main game.
Yeah. And I don't, you know what works well is a lot of times you'll see games, if they're, you know, well designed, they'll give you the really easy minigame that you have to do, and then you can go back to do the optional minigame again. And it'll be harder. Like, there's harder difficulties, but you win things. I'm okay with that.
I'm all right with that. I'd still rather they weren't there, but that's the way to do it if you got to do it at all.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind like the Zelda tradition of mini games that you can do to like win heart pieces and stuff that's not vital. Extra rupees. That's fine with me.
I'd still rather acquire them through playing the main game, but it's not going to hurt my feelings if they're in there.
Yeah, just when all of a sudden I have to go snowboarding down to the Ice Palace and I just get pissed.
Ice Palace pisses me off by itself. I don't even need to snowboard to it.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying because there are parts where, like, you're walking on ice and it's slippery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why do games need to have that?
I don't know. It's just, it's a rule. If you have a game, it has to have an ice level. That's all there is to it. If it doesn't have an ice level, then it's going to have some level with high wind. It's one or the other.
Zelda has both.
Well, that can't be bad.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of annoying. In fact, the wind doesn't go on for very long. It's not that bad, but there's a part with some wind. It's kind of annoying. There's actually, now I think about it, a couple parts with some wind. There's also some wind in Death Mountain at one point.
Wind, I'm okay with wind, except when you have these little narrow walkways, and you have to get all the way down the thing, and the wind is going to blow from either side at random, at some random strength, and you just kind of have to avoid ever getting blown off of this long, narrow thing. That's just...
You know, the only thing that gets me, that's driving me crazy when I play through Zelda, is there's a lot of pseudo-platforming elements where you have, like, walk across little beams, or... Who the hell decided that when I'm doing these, my camera should not be constantly locked on my character's back?
Lordy.
It drives me crazy when it's like, we don't walk and the camera will not quite, you'll turn and it won't turn with you?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why? How do you play these platformer games, like, looking at your character from the face on? That drives me crazy. I really miss the precision of 2D platforming.
I do too. I think that camera control is really what breaks a 3D platformer, because in a 2D platformer, as the name implies, what you're doing basically is you're jumping on platforms. You got this little tiny rock, and you got to jump over to this other little tiny rock, and so on and so on. In 3D platforms, they're usually less about that than they are about staying on little narrow paths. But if they let you lock the camera behind your character, all you got to do is press up until you get through it. So They do this stuff where they just, like, make the camera look at you from some weird angle, so you have to deal with this strange pathing through the maze, and it's really awful.
I really like the last Prince of Persia game. My favorite, what it was called, Warrior Within, I think. Maybe Two Thrones. I don't remember.
Two Thrones anyway. Was the last one.
They always had these really indistinguishable names. Anyway, the most recent one, there's a lot of stuff you have to walk on little balance beams, but it's cool because you move one of the analog joysticks to control your arms for balance. So that's how you balance.
Oh, that's neat.
You just press forward, and he'll walk forward. You don't have to worry about pressing forward exactly the correct way. You just have to kind of make adjustments to the way your character. He's got his arms outstretched, and you move back and forth as he moves back and forth to keep his balance. And that's actually really smooth once you get good at it. You can walk along these little tight ropes really easily. But the recent Prince of Persia series is pretty much exactly how to do 3D platforming correctly. I don't know why more games don't steal from it. Unfortunately, the recent Prince of Persia series is how not to do 3D combat correctly.
Yes.
But the platforming parts of it are just perfect.
You never played Super Mario Sunshine on the game.
No, I still haven't.
But it's basically Super Mario 64. But every level contains like a sub-world. And in these little sub-worlds is a space with all sorts of just platform elements in it, just blocks and rotating things and sliding things, and it's pretty much like what you would get if you translated a 2D platform into 3D, because it's pretty much jumping from little tiny platform to little tiny platform across this big great gaping pit, and that was pretty cool. It's not too common that you do stuff like that actually in 3D.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
I kind of ended up wanting...
I always have trouble with it with analog joysticks, though, and cameras that move around. I'm just not any good at 3D platformers.
Yeah. It can be tough. It was done pretty well here. I found it pretty enjoyable. I ended up wishing the whole game was made like that, and I didn't have to do this stuff where I'm collecting coins on the beach so I can get the watermelon trophy, which has a star piece on it. I don't know.
Yeah, like, that's... 3D platformers end up becoming treasure hunts. For some strange reason.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think any was as bad as Donkey Kong Country 64, where you had roughly 5 awful. Million things to collect in any given level. That was kind of overboard, I thought.
And the thing that I hated the most about that was not only is everything you do in a level collecting things, but every objective is solved by completing a minigame within a time limit.
Right, that was pretty annoying, too.
That was the worst of the minigame festival games, as far as I'm concerned. Was Donkey Kong 64. It was minigames every 3 seconds, and they weren't even always different ones. It's like they had a dozen different minigames, and they repeat through the whole game.
I think that's extra challenge.
It made it harder to tolerate. I guess that might be what they're going for. The only thing I liked about that game was Jetpack, honestly.
Ah, Jetpack, yes, that was a fun game. Much much better than Donkey Kong Country 64, in fact.
Yeah. Made me want to see if I could go get a Sinclair Spectrum to see if maybe there were some good games on the system other than Jetpack.
All right, so I think it probably about wraps it up for this episode.
Yeah, I think we're probably pretty close to done.
Do you have anything else you need to talk about? That people need to know?
Nintendo getting sued for every reason people can imagine. And Sony just resolutely kicking itself in the shorts at every opportunity.
Yeah, just bizarre. I don't know why they didn't wait to launch the PS3 until later.
But it's not even just the launch on the PS3. Did you see this thing where their viral marketing campaign just totally turned around on them and bit them in the ass?
Oh, yeah, I did. That
was embarrassing.
They had like a fake website, right, with this rapper who was making songs about how, I don't know, how fat the PSP was.
I didn't look into the details of the rapping to be
honest. Yeah, I watched one of the videos, I think. It was pretty horrendous.
Excellent. It was this website.
Why?
It was theoretically these two kids who wanted a PSP for Christmas or whatever, and so it's all these details about how they try to get a PSP. But actually it was by Sony, and it was trying to get other people interested in the PSP, and people found out, and it just totally... It blew up in Sony's face, and this is right after Sony gets done with the whole rootkit fiasco. Now we have viral marketing issues, and it's just like, could Sony look any worse to the public than it does right now?
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is, of course, the PSP has just been a flop since it launched. It had a pretty decent launch, if I remember correctly, but then sales just fell off immediately once everyone realized that there was nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, no games for it, and turns out people weren't interested in buying movies they already owned for another $30 so they could watch them in worse quality than the DVDs they got for $5 at Walmart.
I can't imagine why people wouldn't be interested in watching movies on a 3-inch screen. I mean, that's just, it seems wild to me.
Even stranger for me with the whole UMD thing was that the movies that Sony sells on the UMD, more expensive than DVDs. Actually cost you more for the little 3-inch version than for the nice widescreen DVD.
I hadn't
The way, the DVD comes with special features.
That's true.
Which you're not getting on the UMD. So.
And the DVD you could theoretically watch on a portable player or on a nice big television at your house, whereas the UMD version only plays on the PSP.
Right. I mean, that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it is.
And then the total lack of games. I mean, Nintendo's just owning that space.
Oh,
like it always has. And I mean, that's one thing you can say is that Nintendo has never not been just completely dominant in the portable gaming. Ever since the days of the Game Boy.
And I mean, the PSP, I thought, looking at it when Sony, before the PSP and the DS launched, when we were just looking at them, I looked at it and I'm like, it's just the Game Gear again. I remember when Sega introduced this system and nobody bought it. I don't think anybody's going to buy it this time either.
Yeah, but I think the PSP looks a lot more attractive as a platform than the Game Gear. I mean,
well, it didn't
it's a pretty nice media device. It seems like there should be a market for a really good media device that also has great games for it. I mean, if Apple, for instance, were to come up with like a video game iPod, I could see that. That's something that I know I might want to purchase. Because I carry around an iPod, but I don't carry around a DS or a Game Boy or anything. But if my iPod could also play games, I might buy some for it. I bought games for my damn cell phone. That's how retarded I am. I bought Tetris yet again so I could play it on my cell phone. I'm not sure that makes any sense, but I did it.
I'm not sure buying Tetris makes a lot of sense at all, since you can get Tetris for free at just about every place in the universe.
Yeah, but not on my cell phone.
That's true.
It costs $5.
The
and
real
I paid
key...
it like a sucker.
The real key with the PSP for me is that it doesn't offer any meaningful improvements over the Game Boy Advance. It's bigger, it's more expensive, yeah, it'll play expensive movies that you already own on DVD, but it's not fundamentally different in any way. It's not like, if we go back to the Game Gear against the Game Boy, it had a larger, brighter, much clearer color screen, and that was a big selling point that Sega tried to play up, and it didn't work, but they tried to play it up.
Don't forget the TV tuner the Game Gear had.
I've already forgotten the TV tuner that the Game Gear had.
That was awesome. You friggin' giant antenna sticking out of your Game Gear so you could watch broadcast television. I remember back in the day really wanting one of those, thinking how cool it would be to watch TV wherever I went.
I did not, to be honest with you. I thought it looked incredibly stupid. But...
I did buy a Game Gear exclusively to play Columns on.
Columns was pretty good.
Yeah, I bought the Game Gear for $5 off a friend of mine. And he threw in Columns with it, so I think I got a good deal on that one.
I think you did. Especially if you did this in the days before the internet where you could just go get Columns.
Exactly.
Or, you know, with dubious legality.
but the thing with the PSP, just it seems like... Before the DS came out, I was really skeptical about its input scheme. Like, the whole stylus thing was, I don't know, they're kind of sketchy, and PSP just seemed like it had a lot going for it. I don't know why Sony didn't include, like, a hard drive or a big flash drive or something, so it could,
it
could be
tuner.
Like a portable music player. Yeah, it needs a TV tuner, that'd be awesome.
I don't know, when Nintendo first announced the DS, I looked at it and I'm like, that thing is just bizarre. But at the same time, I could see how it made sense to introduce this system, because this is a meaningful upgrade over the Game Boy Advance, you know? This isn't the sort of thing I would look at, like with the PSP, and be like,
right.
I could spend $300 on that, or I could get a Game Boy Advance SP for $70, you know?
In fact, I think it's a lot, obviously, Nintendo's strategy for the Wii was the same thing.
Right.
We're gonna make a compelling reason to upgrade, because we're going to give you a new way of playing, rather than just improved graphics.
And I think at this point, with video game graphics being what they are now, I think that's really the only way to go with it, because people might be willing to pay, you know, $400 for an Xbox 360, but what about the next Xbox? You know, the graphics difference will be even smaller than it is with this one, and will people be willing to pay another $400 or $500 to upgrade again? Sooner or later, it's gonna It's going to run out of steam.
I mean, we're really into diminishing returns now. It's not at all the jumps it used to be. I think right now the 360 and the PS3 have something going for them in that they're going to be able to offer high def, which is going to be big as people switch over to high def. But after that, what? There's not going to be a switch to high def in 5 years. This is pretty much going to be it, probably for 20 years or so before you really... it's been such a pain to make this transition over to high... We're not even done. Only like 1 in 5 households have an HD TV right now, so...
Mine isn't one of them.
Yeah, neither is mine. I have a computer monitor, though, which is like an HD TV, but better. Just like I don't think a lot of people realize that HD TV is still actually not nearly as good as most computer displays.
The only issue, I guess, with that would be that it's a lot like an HD TV, but better, but smaller.
True. It is smaller, but you're also sitting closer to it.
That's true. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like my monitor. Just I can see the appeal to a big...
That's the thing about it. At the end of the day, if what you're really trying to sell is graphics, well, Oblivion on a good PC looks a lot better than Oblivion on the Xbox 360.
Well, of course it does.
And in 2 years, when people actually have PCs that can run Oblivion correctly...
Because
right now it requires real bleeding edge to run it
In 4 or 5 years.
Right. But the Xbox 360 will still look like the Xbox 360, and PC gaming will have improved. I feel like you just really can't compete with PC gaming in terms of graphics. So
I think another way to look at this, though, would be just for a top-of-the-line video card, just the video card costs $1,000. Or you can get an Xbox 360 for $400. I think that's another...
Yeah, or you can buy a Wii for $250.
Well, right, but you can't play Oblivion on the Wii. So
Not yet.
Maybe you can eventually. That would be something.
But that's my point. If you're like, okay, you spend extra money to get better graphics, well, why don't... I mean, I also do a lot of other things on my PC, too. You can't encode movies on your Xbox 360, I don't think, so... At least when you're spending money on your PC, you're getting additional value besides just games.
Absolutely.
I just don't understand that proposition. And considering that the price of consoles for the first time is actually really increasing... Because normally after you account for inflation, console prices have historically gotten cheaper. Each generation should cost less than the one before it, once you factor in the rising cost of money. Like, all the Nintendo systems launched at $200 until the Wii, so they all went down in actual value. But now the 360 and the PS3 especially are really trying to raise the amount of money we're spending on our consoles. And I'm just not sure, what am I getting for that extra cash?
They appear to be trying to raise... the amount of stuff that you do with the console. So it won't just be like, especially with Sony, they've been very explicit about this. They don't just want you buying a video game console. They want you buying this object that will sit at the center of your household and, like, make your whole life 80% better or whatever it is that it's supposed to do. But I just don't...
The thing is, I don't buy it because...
I don't either.
Especially Sony, since whatever features they give me are going to be, like, horrendously crippled. That's the problem. When the media companies, I mean, Sony has a lot, it's got movie studios and music companies, and, they're not going to want you to be able to do anything cool with your media. They're going to want you to be locked down into their format, and they won't want you, am I going to be able to transfer a movie from that I downloaded on my PS3 to my laptop? Probably not. That's probably not going to be something Sony's going to approve of.
And to be fair, coming from the same direction, the same problem applies, though not quite as badly, to the iPods. I mean, Apple...
Yeah, but there's an interesting thing, because Apple is constantly butting heads with the music industry. The music industry wants more restrictive DRM. Apple wants less restrictive DRM. Because, again, Apple has nothing to gain from DRM. It's not in their best interests.
That's true.
Have it. A little bit it is, because not allowing iTunes music to play on non-iPods helps get people locked into the iPod. But it's not the same way. I mean, certainly Apple has one of the least restrictive copyright protection schemes of all the online music shops. They're pretty flexible. They let you play it on 5 different devices of your choosing, and you can register and unregister them at will, and you can burn CDs, and once you burn a CD with your music, it's unrestricted. So it's pretty flexible. I compare it to what I'm sure Sony's going to come up with.
Yeah, well, it is flexible, but you can see the same sort of issues coming up, is that all this cool stuff that you think about, I'll get this digital music player and I can do this and this and this and I can buy music on the internet and then I have all this flexibility, but you get a lot less than what you might expect.
Yeah, but again, on the other hand, the iPod itself is not at all crippled. You can play whatever you want to on the iPod. You can transfer music from the iPod to your PC without any, you know, copy restriction being put on it, because Apple, at the end of the day, is selling a device and not really media. It doesn't really make a lot of money at selling music.
Yeah.
You know, the music store for Apple is a way of selling iPods. Whereas for Sony, you know, they want to. I don't trust Sony, and I sure don't trust Microsoft, really. I don't really like a lot of things Apple is. I don't like either, but I trust them a little bit more to be looked at for my interest, since, you know, my buying their devices is where they're making their money.
Mm. That's what I was saying with Sony. I think public confidence in Sony as a company is really low right now after this whole, especially after the rootkit fiasco. With now people are like, well, what else is Sony going to try to pull on me? You know,
and that's the thing. You know, people will say, well, the general public doesn't know what the root, they don't know what rootkit is, but who does know, I think, is the hardcore gaming crowd who follow this stuff.
Right.
And that's who Sony's obviously appealing to with the PS3 price the way it is, right, for right now anyway. They need to get the buy-in from the so-called hardcore gamers. You know, it's Nintendo who's marketing to the general public.
Oddly, after Sony was the company that first expanded the video game console from something that just hardcore gamers buy and opened it up more to the general public, which was both a blessing and a curse, but certainly did wonders for their ability to sell it.
Right.
And now in this generation, we have Sony, whose appeal is entirely to the hardcore crowd, and Nintendo being like, hey, everybody, 40-year-old soccer moms, come in and play the Wii. You know?
Right. And I think, have you seen the Wii commercials versus the PS3 commercials?
I have not.
The Wii commercials are kind of weird. These two Japanese guys rolling around to various homes and stuff, and people like they knock on the door, right? And some family opens it, and the Japanese guy holds up the controller and says, "We want to play." And then it shows the family playing with the Wii, and then the Japanese guy gets in their little car and drive off. I mean, but it shows people playing games, and it, you know, shows off the controller and how it works, and it's kind of exciting. It's you know, weird, but the PS3 ads are. You know, they don't show any gameplay at all. They just show, like, they're really strange. Like a white room, and there's a PS3 in it, and like a doll, and then the PS3 starts floating, and the doll's like, I don't know, like melting or something. And it's all very surreal. I never really figured out. It's like, do you remember when the Dreamcast came out? They had that whole "It's Thinking" campaign.
Oh,
where they were just
vaguely.
Kind of a little surreal and bizarre. I never understood precisely who this is marketing toward. You know. You have to pretty much know what the PS3 is already for that campaign to even register with you. So.
Yeah.
And of course, no one can purchase a PS3 anyway, so I don't know why they're spending money advertising it right now.
Well, they have to get the word out, because nobody, especially since nobody can buy a Wii right now either. So.
Well, I mean, the people who are buying them can. Like, there are Wiis. They're just selling out really quickly. Are there actually any PS3s? I don't think any exist.
I think there are 5 of them, which is one more than there were PS2s at launch, if you'll recall. There were only 4 of those.
Yeah. But, now the PS2 is outselling, you know, the Xbox 360 and the PS3. The PS3 and the Wii don't really count, but...
Right.
I do think it's funny. More people want a PS2 this Christmas than they want an Xbox 360.
That doesn't surprise me very much. It doesn't surprise me very much.
I don't know. I wouldn't buy a PS2 right now at retail.
The PS2 right now is an awful lot cheaper than the Xbox 360, and it has an awful lot more software.
Yeah.
Those are selling points. I mean, especially if consider you and I we're more in the hardcore gaming category, but the general public is the people who buy all of these EA games based on movies that they've just seen. You know.
True.
And the PlayStation 2 has a giant lineup of these, and they're not really coming out on the 360. Most of these games, you find, are still just being released for the PS2 and the Xbox and the GameCube, and many of them with Wii translations.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're not really landing on the 360 so far. The 360's games are all more like they're Gears of War, and you have your Viva Pinatas, and your Perfect Dark Zeros, and
I want to play Viva Pinata.
I do too. I have to try that.
That's like the most compelling X360 title I've seen yet. That and Dead Rising. I think Dead Rising is pretty fun.
I want to give a shot to Gears of War myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shooter on a console.
I know, but still, I've heard such great things about it. You know,
I heard great things about Halo and Halo 2, and let me tell you, those are not great games.
That's true.
So that's what frightens me.
But at the same time, you can't suspect every game that you hear good things about just because Halo was a stinker. So
that's, I guess that's technically true, yeah. But boy, those Halo games, I'll never understand why people love them.
I don't see the appeal. Honestly don't.
Have they not played Half-Life? Do they not know what a good shooter looks like?
I guess they all really, really, really liked Quake 3 Arena, but thought the textures had too much color. That's the only thing I can come up with.
I liked Quake 3 Arena. That was a pretty fun game.
It was okay. I mean, it was okay for the time, but right. Halo is still the same game. It's Quake 3 Arena.
Except now you can get a laser sword.
Ooh.
There was a laser sword in Q3.
No, there was just a laser gauntlet thing instead.
That's right.
And the BFG 10,000.
All right. Well, we should wrap this up.
Yeah, now that we're talking about Quake 3.
That's a hot topic. People really want to know our take on Quake 3.
I know. We should do a Quake 3 versus Unreal Tournament segment. The public is still wondering, after all these years, which of these games is better.
Did you know that Quake 4 came out?
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know anybody's played it.
Have you ever heard anything at all about it?
I read a review of it that said basically it was Quake 2 with better graphics.
Oh.
Like, all the way down to the whole, like, the level design is the same.
There was a point in time when Quake games, like, people cared about them. When did that stop happening?
I think that stopped happening after people were bored to death with Doom 3, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, Doom 3 was the last game that ID put out, or that ID put its name on, even, that anybody cared about.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, I don't know. Do we have any thoughts on any other hot topics? What about SNES versus Genesis? Which one's better?
Well, I understand. Well, I think what this issue is going to come down to is blast processing, because one of these systems, one of these systems can blast the processor, and the other one, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. I think with that, we should get out of here.
I think we definitely should. So that'll be us for this period. We'll see you again next indeterminate period to discuss things again.
Yep, I think that's about it.
You want to announce yourself before we sign off?
Not really.
Okay, that's that guy, and this is this guy, and we're out of here. Catch you later.